Welcome to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. We're a church in Gahanna, Ohio that exists to help people find and follow God. We hope this message encourages you, challenges you, and helps you discover how much God really loves you.
All right, well, good morning. My name is Joel, and I get to be the pastor here. It feels like the official start to summer. And I know that all the kids are out of school here in Gahanna, at least. If you're a jellyfish in the room, can I hear you say, whoop, whoop? Yeah, man, we love having you guys here with us. Do you guys remember adults, big people, when you were 7 or 8, just the summer? Like, you get to go to bed when the sun goes down and eat popsicles and ice cream and swing on swings and play with your friends. Man, it feels like summer is here. Quick commercial, we've got Shark Nights coming up on June 8th for kids that are going into 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade at the Well. And Jellyfish, I just want you to know that I've got some instructions for you this morning. I know you guys got some, you got your clipboards, you got your pens, you got your paper. You good to go? Yeah? Okay. So one thing is, you need to know, you guys are an answer to my prayers. Because I remember the day, and it wasn't even that long ago, we didn't even have a jellyfish class in our church. We had like one or two kids in elementary age, and sometimes if they weren't there, we just literally wouldn't even have the class. And now there's like 60 of you guys every single week, and that is an answer to my prayers. Can we thank the Lord for that, that our church has just been blessed? You guys are the reason that we are doing two services all summer, all right? So we just want to make sure you're safe and having a great time. So Three Creeks kids, we're fired up there. You're here. And then kids, do this for me. Check this out. If you're a jellyfish and you got one of those clipboards, you get to draw pictures while I talk. And you probably already know this about me, but I love getting gifts. I love getting pictures drawn. So you don't have to give it to me, but I at least want to see them in the courtyard after church. And then do me a favor. Put two lines and then draw 1, 2, 3, 4, because I have 4 little pictures that I'm going to have you guys draw while I talk to some of the big people here this morning. The first box, you guys, what I want you to draw, and by the way, if you already ran out of paper and you raise your hand really, really high, I think Katie or somebody is going to come give you a clean piece of paper, but maybe you're ready. Draw your box. The first one, in box number one, I want you guys to draw something that you are really excited about doing this summer. One thing you're excited about doing this summer. All right. We're in a series called The Blessed Life. And we're talking about what Jesus describes as the keys to having what we would describe as a blessed life. And what we've talked about for 4 weeks so far, and now the 5th week in a row, is that what Jesus said had everybody confused. Because his advice, his wisdom, was not the same as what they were hearing everywhere else. The opening part to the Sermon on the Mount, we've called it the Beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount is the most famous, most quoted, most life-changing sermon ever given. It was given by Jesus himself on the shores of the Sea of Galilee outside of a city called Capernaum. This is what it would have looked like, where Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, it says, Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside, and he sat down, and the crowds followed him. And this is how Jesus opens up the greatest sermon of all time. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This is the one that we're going to do today. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those like Ali, who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He opens up with what we'll call the string of blessings that would have had everybody scratching their heads going, what did he just say? Because what he said sounds like the opposite of what I've been told my whole life. Blessed are those who mourn. That word blessed, it's the first word of all 8 of the Beatitudes. It's the Greek word makarios, and the best way to translate it other than blessed is maybe just happy. And so Jesus is out there saying, you could say that Jesus is saying, happy are the poor in spirit and happy are those who mourn, etc. Jellyfish, box number 2. You guys get to draw something that makes you happy. Anything you want that makes you happy. In the role that I get to play in this church as the pastor, I get to have spiritual conversations with people all the time. And many of you guys know this about me. I didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't study to be a pastor. But in God's kindness, He reached down when I was about 28 years old and said, I want you to do this. And I drug my feet for 18 months, and then I said, fine. And now I love it. Man, I love getting to do what I do because I get to have spiritual conversations with people. And I love specifically having spiritual conversations with people that I would say are kind of on the front end of their spiritual journey with Jesus. And they have a lot of questions, but here's the one that's the most common. At some point, the rubber meets the road, and everybody asks this question. Maybe you're following Jesus 20 years. You're still kind of asking this question. The question that everybody asks is, do I have to? You read the Bible, you hear what Jesus says, you see what God's way is, and we just in our hearts say, do we have to? Like, do we have to go to church? Do we have to read the Bible? Do we have to pray? Do we have to change our language to say heck and shoot? Do we have to? Is it a requirement? Do we have to? And what Jesus is saying in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, He's saying to everybody who's listening, everybody's listening, and they're asking the same question, do we have to? And Jesus is saying, blessed, happy are those who choose to do it my way. He says, just try it. Try it my way. Don't do what everybody else is saying that you should do. Follow me, listen to me, try it my way, and eventually you will get to the point where you are not asking, do I have to? You will be exclaiming that you got to, because Jesus' way is better. If you have any interest, listen, if you have any interest in responding to the question, how are you doing, with the answer, man, I am thriving. I am fulfilled. There is a deep satisfaction in my soul that I cannot explain. That is found through doing things Jesus' way, and we find this way in the Beatitudes. So here's the one for today. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, happy are the merciful. Let's just break it down real quick, but let's go backwards. Number one, followers of Jesus will be shown mercy from God, both now and forever. Followers of Jesus will be shown mercy. And look at it, followers of Jesus show mercy to others. And as it turns out, followers of Jesus will find that it makes them feel blessed. It actually makes them feel happy to show mercy to others. Followers of Jesus will be shown mercy. Followers of Jesus show mercy. And followers of Jesus find out that that is one of the keys to a happy life. That word there is eleemon, which is a Greek word for merciful, or you could translate it compassionate. And so what Jesus is saying is that happy, blessed are those who are merciful, who are compassionate to those in need. So we see here right out the gate that mercy is not something that is given, you know, it's not credit where credit is due. And we prefer that. We like people when they get what they deserve. But you see, mercy is giving kindness and granting compassion where it isn't due and when it isn't deserved. It's just extended as a gift. This is what mercy is. Jellyfish, if you're okay with it, I want to tell you guys a story. And at the end, I want you to draw a picture of something in the story. But this story is a good one, and I think you're going to like it. This is actually a story that Jesus himself told. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 18, and it's about mercy. Jesus was really big on mercy. He talked about it a lot. He embodied it a lot. And in Matthew chapter 18, he tells this story, and I think you're going to like it. Jesus said, there was a king. And the king had let a lot of people borrow a lot of money. And the king decided in his heart that it was time to collect the money that he had let people borrow. And so different people were coming and they were returning the money that the king had let them borrow. And one person came in and this person owed 10,000 bags of gold. 10,000 bags of gold. This guy's in trouble. He doesn't have 10,000 bags of gold to pay. He's a little bit nervous about what the king is going to do. The king actually said, well, fine, if you don't have enough, if you don't have 10,000 bags of gold to pay me back, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go sell everything that you have, everything that you own. You're going to put it up for sale, and you're going to give me every coin that you earn from selling everything that you have. And this person, Jesus says that he got on his knees, and he said, King, will you please show me mercy? Will you be compassionate on me? Will you give me a little bit of time? Will you be patient? If you give me some time, I will pay you back. And Jesus says that the king looked down on him and said, you know what? I've had a change of heart. I'm going to extend mercy to you, and your debt has been paid, and you don't owe me anything anymore. Pretty good story so far. That guy who was forgiven all of those bags of gold walks out, walks home, finds a person that owes him only 100 silver coins. It's not very much compared to 10,000 bags of gold. And this person who had just been forgiven went and said, hey, you owe me 100 coins of silver, and I want you to pay me right now. And that person didn't have it right then. And that person got on his knees, and he said, will you please just be patient? Will you show me mercy? Will you show me compassion? Just give me a little bit of time, and I will repay you 100 silver coins. And the person said, no, no, no. Put him in jail. He did not extend the same mercy that had been extended to him. Well, some of the other people around who found out that this other guy was in jail now told the king. And so the king brought the first guy in again. He said, hey, wait a minute. What just happened to you? Why are you out there making other people go to jail because they owe you 100 silver coins? I just forgave you 10,000 bags of gold. And here are the last verses of the story that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18. It says, the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant? Just as I had mercy on you. Shouldn't you have extended the same kind of mercy that I extended to you? This is the point that Jesus wants all of his listeners then and us to understand. It's that how merciful we are to others shows how merciful we believe God has been to us. And how compassionate we are to others shows how compassionate we believe that God has been to us. And so, jellyfish, box number 3, if you're tracking with me, I want you guys to do your best to draw a king who is kind. And maybe it will remind you of this king that forgave this debt. How much mercy do you believe that God has shown you? How much mercy do you believe that God has shown you? You want to know how I can tell? By how much mercy you show others. By how frequent and how regular you find someone who is at a disadvantage and with no strings attached, care for, give to, serve, pray for, empower, lift up someone in need. That, if we are regularly doing that, that showcases a belief that that is what God did for us. And Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Happy are those who walk like me in the way of mercy. One of the ways that we do this as a church, or at least we try to do this as a church, we try to give you this opportunity, is through a partner that we talk about a lot here called My Village Ministries. And I just got to tell you, I'm just getting started with My Village. If you're tired of hearing about it, well, probably find another church because we're not done talking about this and we're not stopping anytime soon. And if you're a little unfamiliar with it, let me just give you the 30-second snapshot. My Village, I describe it as this. They kind of get mad at me, but I think it helps. My Village Ministries, in my opinion, kind of works as the church's form of foster care. It is different, and that's not a perfect description, but that's kind of what the church does. My Village Ministries trains and empowers Christians in churches to host kids in their home from one night up to 1 year while their parents are going through a crisis. joblessness, homelessness, incarceration, a medical emergency. If mom and dad can't take care of the kids, they can opt into allowing a Christian family to watch their kids. 3 years ago, we started partnering with My Village Ministries. I think we have 7 host families currently and 50 or 60 people on the care community that surround those host families when there's hostings. A woman, maybe a year and a half ago, called in to the My Village Ministries hotline. She had a 1.5-year-old little girl, and she was pregnant again, parenting solo, and she had no support when she had to go to these high-risk pregnancy appointments and that she wasn't allowed to bring her toddler to. This lady grew up in the foster care system, and so family relationships were broken. She had no siblings or parents to help her at all. She's totally solo. And when she got pregnant with this little girl, nobody thought to throw her a baby shower. Nobody cross-stitched the baby's initials into a blanket. Nobody set up a meal train. Nobody even cared. Nobody even cared. She went to one of the appointments with her 1.5-year-old, and they said, "You can't do this." And she said, "Well, what am I going to do? Where do you want me to put her?" And it just so happened that this doctor or this nurse that she was talking with told her, "You can call My Village Ministries." My question was, well, where are her friends? Where are her friends at? And the response that I got was, can you imagine being... I mean, this lady is a good mom, and she chose to call a hotline so that strangers would watch her daughter more than her friends. And that just shows you the kind of support that she had at that time. So she calls into My Village Ministry. She says, "I don't know what to do. I need some help. I'm a little bit nervous about this, but will you help?" And 3 families from our church raised their hands and said, "We will help. We will stand in the gap." And so, man, what started as just these like kind of park play dates to kind of build this relationship ended up so that when she would go to all these appointments, her 1.5-year-old would stay with one of these 3 families. Then, because the relationship forged over a few months, when she, the time came for her to go deliver the baby for, 2 or 3 days in the hospital, the 1.5-year-old stayed the whole time with one of these host families from our church. And then 1 week after, when there were some complications with the recovery from the delivery, she had to go back to the hospital, and both the baby and the 1.5-year-old stayed in 2 different homes of families in our church that said, "I will raise my hand and I will stand in the gap." And then since then, there have been park picnics, and there, right before the baby was born, these 3 families gathered tons of gifts, diapers, pack and play, crib, threw her a huge baby shower at Chick-fil-A. That's a pretty good place for a baby shower if you're asking me. She's just kind of blown away. She didn't really have the words to express her gratitude, what it meant to her in this time. She had a play date recently with one of the moms that was of those 3 families, and this lady and this mom spent almost 2 hours talking about Jesus and the Bible and what it could mean for her, and we're still in relationship with this mom and her 2 sweet little girls. In fact, all 3 moms, I don't know why I cry about this, but all 3 moms went over. This lady is a nail technician and does it out of her home to try to make money to provide for her girls. And she said, "I want to give all 3 of you a free manicure." And all 3 moms went over there and just loved her through conversation and encouraged her and blessed her. And they all got their nails done. And I'm just thinking to myself, man, these 3 families, they didn't go and do this so that they would get their nails done. And they didn't do all of this so that I would tell the story. And they didn't do all of this so that somebody would give them a high five or an award somewhere along the way. These 3 families are fully aware of the mercy that God has put on their lives that they cannot help but extend it to other people. They just can't hold it in. Like they really do understand that God reached down in compassion and mercy and pulled them up from their disadvantage being stuck in their sins. And so now they cannot live their lives without looking for other people to say, "Can I help? Can I do for you what God did for me?" You see the mercy of God compels us when we're merciful. Man, are we ever more like Jesus than when we are compassionate and merciful to somebody who needs help? There's one more story I just want to tell you here at the end. But you guys know who these people are? Woo! That's Mike and Kelsey. They're three amazing kids that have truly joined their parents in this. Mike and Kelsey were one of the first families to raise their hands and say, we'll do it. We'll host kids in our home. We want to be merciful like God has been merciful to us. I think just a couple weeks ago, I heard that they had two kids in their home for a few nights. It was a medical emergency situation. They got a call at 7 p.m. There's two kids that need a place to stay tonight. And they were at the hospital by 8 p.m. And these two... And Kelsey, I asked her if I could share this. And she said that I could. She wrote this on Facebook a couple weeks ago. And it proves that Jesus was right when he said, blessed are the merciful. She writes, after hosting 11 kids for 372 nights, we are still just as passionate about this ministry, maybe even more so. And what they're doing for families right here in our community. We're so grateful for our church for partnering with MBM and giving us the opportunity to serve in this way. And then this is what she said. She goes, man, the opportunity to be a small part of someone's village when they need it most. That is a unique experience that honestly opened my eyes to how God loves his people more than I would have ever expected. And she said, thank you, Jesus, for using us. Thank you, Jesus, for using us. And I just go, man, Jesus was right. Blessed are the merciful. Happy are the merciful. Happy are the compassionate. If you want to answer the question, how are you doing? You go, I just feel alive. Then you live in a merciful, compassionate, others-oriented way, and we stop asking the question, do I have to? We stop asking, like, does everybody have to? You go, man, Jesus is saying no. Do you want deep satisfaction in your soul? Try it my way. It is the best way. Man, God shows us mercy. He shows Jesus' followers mercy. And Jesus' followers show mercy to others and find out that it's the best way. That it's the best way. So here's how we close. I've got some instructions for the jellyfish, and I've got a question for the big people. Jellyfish, you guys are going to have about 2 minutes, and here's what I'd love for you to do. I just want you to write, blessed are the merciful. And you can write it in whatever kind of cursive or bubble letters or whatever you want. Decorate it up. I don't want you to forget that Jesus said that. And everybody else, here's the question. In what ways is God asking me to be merciful? In what ways is God asking me to be merciful? It may or may not include my village ministries, but it may. It may. And I think from time to time, when we've talked about MVM, there's been a collective nod like, oh, like, that's a good ministry. Like, yeah, that's good. And then there's this sense of like, yeah, I kind of hope somebody else does that. And I just want to put it on you today. I want every person in the room to wrestle with this. What is my role to play in showing mercy to people who are at a disadvantage? There's one arm of my village ministries that I haven't shared about yet, and I'm not sure if we have shared about it yet. It's called the Expectant Mother Program. And what that is it's for young ladies who are pregnant, who have zero support, but who are still choosing life, but they literally don't even know how to do this thing. And three families come around this person and support them through their pregnancy and up to 6 weeks postpartum. And so they get diapers and they throw a baby shower and they bring money together and they get a packet player, whatever it takes to support, to drive them to doctor's appointments. And I mean, I was on a walk this morning and I was praying for you and I literally said out loud, I was like, everybody should do this. Like, everybody should do at least that. And you may not be in a place in your life where you can host kids in your home, but can you be a part of the Expectant Mother program that helps young ladies choose life? Can you be merciful and compassionate in that space? Let me just tell you, nobody's going to throw you a parade. Probably the thank yous, they're not going to come in waves. This is so that we walk like Jesus walked and find out that it's the best life ever. So here's 2 minutes. Maybe you sit there. Maybe it's just time to think. Maybe you get your phone out and you text 3 Creeks to 97,000, and the top link on that link tree is the MVM interest form. You're not signing up for anything. You're just telling us you're interested. We'll follow up with you and see how you want to be a part of it. But take 2 minutes right now, and then I'll come up and I'll close our service.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to attend a service, visit 3creekschurch.com.